It's time for Slam.
One. We back. Welcome to another episode of the Highline Podcast. Is it a person episode, as you can see? And by the voice or by the face, you can tell it's me, your returning voice of reason. Thank God there's nobody to oppose you today. Voice of truth, the only man who speaks the truth, only the truth and nothing but the truth.
I agree to an extent.
It's good to be back. And then the returning Funto, I think this is the first time he's been on since the second
episode ever.
So welcome back.
It's good to be back. First of all, I just want to say I admire the work that has been done by you.
Thank you.
Like, when he means he's a voice of reason, I really acknowledge him as the voice of reason, genuinely.
So say now, Femi, please be listening.
He genuinely has shown me his craft. There was a reason why I decided that, you know what, he was a better man for the job. To a good extent, he has been very, very much done the job as needed and made this podcast go as needed, and kudos to you. I appreciate the work. Like, Konet Sport is better in his hands than it has ever been, honestly. But yeah, I'm back to talk about football.
Yeah, football.
I have a lot to say, and it's been a long time coming.
And football, bloody hell.
Bloody hell, man. Bloody hell. So where do we start with you?
I think Champions League is the best place to start, and it's the Real Madrid PSG game. Obviously, we all know by now, Real Madrid knocked PSG out of the Champions League 3-1 aggregate, down 2-0 on aggregate, 1-0 in the game till the 60th minute. And a Donnarumma error, brought PSG back into Real Madrid back into the game. And there, for me, like, there's a lot of takeaways from the game. But first, on the losing side of things, PSG are never going to win the Champions League. Like,
never.
It's never going to happen. It's never going to happen.
Unless.
Is there no unless? There's no unless. Like, they're just not going to win the Champions League. Two, I want to open a case against number 30.
Number 30, yes.
The last time Lionel Messi showed up on the big stage was in 2017 against Real Madrid in La Liga. That was the last time he showed up on the big stage. Since then, he's bottled a 3-0 lead to Roma in the Champions League, bottled a 3-0 lead to
Liverpool
in the Champions League, missed a penalty that could have made things edgier against PSG in the Champions League last season, was completely silent in the Copa America final last season and rode Di Maria to success, missed a penalty in the first leg that ultimately cost them, you know, the series. And it's like, these are all big moments.
Did you just say the series?
Eh? My bad.
You watch, like, too much basketball, yeah, man.
But these are all big moments where 30 hasn't stepped up.
For me, I saw number 30 and number 7, the one in Manchester. I have been silently, like, creating a case against both of them that they need to finally, like, maybe probably hang up their boots or, like, get away from the game, because the evil they have done is too much at this point right now. Like, today, concerning number 30, it's so funny, we don't call them by their names anymore, because, like, I think glory days are done. But all due respect to them, because, like, literally right now, they have no basis to be playing apart from their past. Genuinely, number 30 and number 7, the number 7 in Manchester, they have no basis to be playing in the high leagues except because of their past. Because genuinely, I look at what he did today. I watched the game, and there was a time where Madrid were going through the midfield. He played at the right midfielder, right winger. He wasn't pressing.
It's what we said since, like, the third episode. PSG are not going to win against a team that's organized, just because Vinicius was isolated against Hakimi 10 times out of 10 because there was no support from, you know, his winger.
But Danilo covered for him, though.
Not successfully. Danilo cannot mark Vinicius, man. Stop.
Danilo on his own, like, I just think for the overall thing for number 30, I just saw him and I'm just like, which team in the world right now will want to take you?
Man City.
Well, yes. Okay, to an extent, yes. But yeah, like
Man City is the only team that could possibly afford to take Messi or Ronaldo.
Messi or Ronaldo, number 30 and number 7. They're the only team that can possibly take it because Liverpool can't. Bayern can't, definitely. I mean, it's a horrible show in United right now. Chelsea to an extent, maybe like they could do that as well too. But generally, both of them, they are declining, and it's sad to see because like they're still trying things. Today, I saw Allegri of Modric and Messi together, and Modric beat Messi.
Yeah, it was a tackle though, but like I know.
On another day, Messi will bust past.
Yeah,
like there were times where I was just like, you know what, this is a way. Like the Messi I knew would have gone past it, and it's not to say that he's bad. It's just that the time has come. They are normal again. So like
I said it 2 weeks ago, Messi hasn't been that bad for PSG. He hasn't been as bad as the agenda.
No, he's not bad. He's not bad. To
be, but PSG did not buy him to be not bad. They bought him to be the difference between not winning the Champions League and winning the Champions League.
And they're out of the last 16.
And they went further in the last 2 years without Messi than they did this year.
Truth is that, like, for me, I try to understand from the tactical perspective and what he's doing. And
Neymar as well.
Neymar. I wanted to, like, that was the next person because I kind of created a list before this. Where I saw Neymar, I love Neymar. I think he's one of the, like, I have the affinity for Neymar, and honestly, because, like, you know what, he's the last of the, like, traditional footballers where we enjoyed, like, this is entertainment. Shout out to Saint Maximin, who is still giving us right now that joy and everything.
Vinicius.
And Vinicius too. And Vinicius too. But what I could see from Neymar is that I don't know what it is. Like today, like he looked like not Neymar. Like he looked, I don't know. Generally, I think he's having problems and his confidence might be low, but he's not that Neymar anymore. And I don't know where he's coming from. Because like you watch his documentary, you watch all these things, and you're just like, okay, I still support you. I still support Neymar to a good extent. I wanted PSG to like go far or even win because of Neymar. Not because of anybody, just because of Neymar. But genuinely, I look at him today and I'm just like, this is two knockout ties, especially the Man City and the Man City last year without Mbappe. And this one again, where it's like, it's all on Mbappe. You know, last year, and this is, I think this we can digress a little into Mbappe a little.
Yeah, there were talks of Mbappe being the best player in the world. Benzema said, not in my house.
Not in my house, bro. My uncle, like everybody knows that Benzema is the French uncle. Everyone respected him, like, when he was back in the squad for Euros. Everyone, you could see everyone was in awe of him, and they could see it. And you know what, but we'll go to Benzema a bit. But in Mbappe, I was against him leaving for Madrid because I was like, this kid is not ready to carry a team, but he's carried this PSG team.
Of course. Of course.
Both in the Champions League.
Nobody showed up for PSG. The defending was horrendous. Madrid could have literally put 7 past them in that second half. Vinicius just, like, there was a time where Vinicius had literally gone past Hakimi and forgot the ball. It's just because Vinicius, you know, couldn't finish today that the scoreline wasn't more embarrassing than it showed.
That's true.
Towards the end of the game, Madrid had like a million chances to put the tie to bed.
And you know what? Because going back to Neymar, I saw a lot of chances where he was like 1v1 versus a player. We expect Neymar to like destroy the player or place the ball. But he slowed down the game. It's like he slowed down the game so bad that, you know what? Like, look at the goal Mbappe scored. You could see that from when he scored, he hit it with power.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was like, Courtois was like, you know what? He's probably going to go far, but he went this other way. That is it. But Neymar was like, Neymar's legacy is drowning for me.
A case needs to be opened as to whether the 220 million is a failed transfer.
Oh, I think it is. I think it is because he keeps missing games. And yes, I understand the injuries
critical
are here and there.
As well.
Critical games every single time. And when it's time to show up, I haven't seen him show up. In the big games, I haven't seen him show up. Except for the little assist for Mbappe. In the Champions League during the bubble, he missed a couple of chances. He missed a lot of chances that time too. Against Atalanta, against Leipzig, also in the semifinals as well too. He missed all those chances. And we keep looking at it and just like, what are you doing? You're not the same player. Like, you're not the same player. What's happened to you?
And to everyone who said MBE Youngboy was better than Mbappe, like, stop, bro. Stop. Rashford is not on the same level as Mbappe.
Oh yeah, like I was part of. I was on the agenda that
Haaland is not on the same level as Mbappe.
Thank you.
Mbappe is in a world of his own. Like, don't compare him to his peers. Do not.
None.
Do not.
None of them.
Do not compare. There's no youngster in the world that can be that should be placed on the same pedestal or just a pedestal below Mbappe. That's how clear he is of everyone else.
He's carrying this team, a team with Neymar and Messi.
He's in a league of his
own. He's in a league of his own. Like, even the game in the French league against Nice this last weekend, I watched some part of it, and all I could see was that PSG are really nothing without Mbappe. Like, they could create chances, but you know that they're struggling without that outball. And it's so crazy how Mbappe can play to feet and also be that outlet in situations. And I think overall, I just think about Mbappe and the whole PSG diabolical thing that PSG have recruited very, very wrongly.
Mm-hmm.
In every single way. They've signed stars and everything.
Up until the manager.
Yes, up until the manager a little bit too. Because I'm just going to go, we'll go into, I believe we can still go into Portugal. Because like we have a lot of things to say about PSG. But like PSG have recruited but diabolically. Why is Danilo Pereira a PSG player?
There's a million people you can ask why they're PSG players.
Why is
a
Julian Draxler?
A million people you can
Julian Draxler still a PSG player.
You could ask why Choupo-Moting was in PSG. You could ask why they bought Icardi.
No, he can be a good backup.
You could ask why they bought Icardi. You could ask why.
Yeah. They never replaced Cavani.
Just
you know?
A million people with PSG have signed, and you're like, well, and Ander Herrera, what was that signing about?
Like, all of these things confuse me. Apparently, even Gini Wijnaldum, you know, he had 9 touches.
Today he played
9 touches in the game against Nice.
Oh,
as a midfielder in the first half, 9. Even more than the keeper Navas. Sorry, it was less than the keeper Navas. That for me shows that PSG, we can sign all the names in this world, and I keep telling people that if you sign all the biggest names in this world, it doesn't guarantee success at all. And we go to Mauricio Pochettino. I kind of don't blame him a lot for this thing because PSG's head fell apart today. It fell apart because of them. It fell apart because the players. How can a team so star-studded, none of them could say calm down after the first goal?
I never had stocks in Poch in my life.
I had.
I rated him. I never thought he was anything special. I thought he was a good manager. But that's what he is at best. Like, I never saw him as transformationary. Nothing. Because at the end of the day, you cannot be a manager and get consistently praised for finishing second best. Like, to the extent that he's created a mentality in a Spurs fan to come on this show and say, there's nothing wrong with being second best. Like, that is literally what Poch did. He told them that...
Have you seen that, Michael, that F50 Cent meme? That's literally what you're doing to this guy. Like, fuck TI, fuck this person, fuck 50. That's what you're literally doing. Like, what did I do?
He's made them believe that second place is good. Poch, there's nothing like for me to rate you as a manager, you have to come and show me, like, you have to show a level of dominance.
Yeah,
like, winning is a factor that every manager has to that has to be placed in determining the position of any manager.
Mm-hmm.
Like Wenger, what you never consider him to be as dominant as Fergie, Mourinho, or Pep, just because he didn't win so much. Even though we can tell it's not his fault.
Yeah.
But like at the end of the day, he didn't win as much as these guys. And for Poch to have won nothing and still get like...
A couple of trophies here and
why
there.
Why is he getting linked to the Man United job? Why? He doesn't deserve it.
We're going to go into that later. I think we should go into that later. But like, I have a whole Man United rant that I've kept him for the last 6 months. But
yeah, for PM Madrid side of things, like... Luka Modric is on the same table as Iniesta and
Xavi. Oh, you saw that take?
And in my opinion, he might have surpassed them.
Oh, wait.
He has a Ballon d'Or. He's doing this at 30. At 36. He's
for Champions League.
At 36, he's a top 5 midfielder in the world.
Top 5?
Yes.
Come on now. Come on.
At 36, he's a top 5 midfielder in the world.
No, come on. Top 10 is even a big shout. Top 5.
Oh, my God.
Come on.
At 36, there's not. Look at his goal on Saturday. Look at what he did today
for the second goal. Look
at, like, he does this consistently. Like, you never...
No loss of... And the thing is that he's hardly lost of pace. I can't remember
a game where I've watched it, like, and Luka Modric did not show up.
I don't... Well, yes. Yes. Yes, I would say he's... Top five is a reach, genuinely. But genuinely,
I would say he's passed, like, Xavi and Iniesta. Honestly speaking, he's passed Xavi and Iniesta.
Xavi and Iniesta dominated the world.
Luka Modric won 3 Champions Leagues in a row. 2 Croatia to a FIFA World Cup final. Won the Golden Ball in the World Cup.
Xavi and Iniesta have Euros and all of that. And
yeah,
they were dominant.
Yeah, but that Spain team was dominant all round.
For 4 years, yeah, that's true. That's true. For four years. So it's, I see the Luka Modric talk and I actually admire it. Like, you know when they say respect your elders, that's what Madrid gives me every single year. It's like, relax. That's what KB9, and which I'm going to come back to because I've been screaming about KB9 since. But Modric still gives me that calmness. And for someone who has been lacking in the midfielding in my team for how long, I look at Modric and I just feel like, look at what your man is doing at 36.
You can't, you see, the thing about Modric is you look at Kroos and you can tell he's aged. Like, you can, by the way he's playing, you can visibly tell.
But Modric is still carrying ball.
The second goal
that carried
was
the
all
ball.
About Luka Modric.
How can your man be carrying the ball like that at 36?
All about Modric.
Ball carrying capabilities at that age, bruv. Nah.
From the moment he's transferred to Madrid, his first season was terrible. Since then, consistently, he's been a top 5, top 7 midfielder in the world every single year.
I believe
every single. How can you tell me that he hasn't, like, he has surpassed Iniesta and
that's almost,
Xavi?
How
for
long
me.
Is that? That's almost.
He went to Madrid in 2012, so 2013. That's about 9 years now.
9 years, and he's gonna stay there for one more year. I couldn't believe a man had burst of pace at that age. Literally going through a midfield of, what do you call it, Verratti, all of those guys. Like, that's why I keep saying that Madrid give me that vibe of respect your elders. We're still those guys. Which brings me to my guy, Karim Benzema. Now, I'm going to sit down and analyze that. Karim Benzema has been disrespectful for too long. In fact, for to an extent, I knew that I used to disrespect him. I think we were talking about him when you used to call him Drip God.
Yeah, Drip God.
When you call him Drip God, that's what you have to do. But fam, when you now watch Karim Benzema, I think about the stats. He's the third highest goal scorer in Real Madrid history.
Mm-hmm. Behind he's Ronaldo and Di Stefano. Raul. Is it the first? Di Stefano and Ronaldo.
I think Raul is still like... Yeah, he passed Raul a long time. I think he's the third highest Champions League goal scorer of all time too.
Yeah.
He has been a Madrid starting... Four Champions Leagues. He has been Madrid's striker for 10 plus years. Which other striker in the world in the past, even Ronaldo Nazario said it. Sorry, I know Ronaldo Nazario came in and he was injury prone and all of that. But Karim Benzema has structurally carried Madrid. There were times where Higuain was there. There were times where even Lewandowski was available for free.
He's beat everyone.
Everyone's like, yeah, he's going to, like, all of these players are going to Madrid. And but Karim Benzema still stayed there.
He gets overlooked because of Ronaldo, but... He showed, for me, today was his Ronaldo moment in Champions League. Today just took me back to 2017, 2018 vibes where you can just, you just know Madrid are not going to lose in the Champions League because they had Cristiano Ronaldo.
Immediately that goal happened. That Donnarumma thing.
PSG were shook. They were shook immediately that happened. There was no organization.
Which means that their ego is, they're weak. They're very, very weak.
And to concede the second goal, to concede the first goal, not calm down. Second goal, not calm down. And for Benzema to score a minute after he scores the second goal, it's disgusting on PSG's part, but this is not necessarily legacy defining, but legacy strengthening hat trick for Benzema.
It just kind of reminded me because I was even listening to something. They were like, we forget that Karim Benzema was among the Golden Boy list the time he transferred to Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
Karim Benzema was tearing it up in the Champions League when he was in Lyon that time as well, too. We could see him, and I just think like there are many strikers that have gone and come, but Karim Benzema still stays. He's 36. He's still tearing up this thing. Luis Suarez, yes, maybe to an extent, tore up last year, but Karim Benzema was still there. Like, ever since Ronaldo stepped out, Karim Benzema is still the reason
also
why
won in La Liga without Ronaldo.
Won in La Liga without Ronaldo. Took them to the Champions League semifinal last year, too. So, all these things.
2 years in a row, actually. No. It was round of 16.
It was round of 16. Round they of lost 16. To Man City. That was COVID time. So we can't, like, we need to actually give him so much flowers for how long it has been. Longevity, man. Like, we keep on talking about longevity. This is a man at 35 still doing numbers. I think he's on 20 plus goals already this season.
In the race for Ballon d'Or.
I was even shouting out at a point that, you know what, like, at last year, towards the end of last year, I was like, Karim Benzema has an argument to be the best player in the world. He has an argument to win the Ballon d'Or. It's just that he didn't win anything. Number 30 ended up winning because of the Copa America. But genuinely, he didn't win. If he won something, he should have won the Ballon d'Or because he was that dominant. Mo Salah can come and go, but I've always said it out. When it comes to it, give me Benzema every day.
Shout out Camavinga as well.
He changed the game too, which is a problem. Which is another thing that I don't like about PSG. You have the best of talent in that league, and you don't want to take it. Look at what Bayern do now. Do the same thing. Carry and like dominate the league that way. Carry the stars there. You have Camavinga that was available for almost 30 million. You ended up just going around having Delano Pereira and resigning Julian Draxler.
PSG think
Leonardo is a problem.
They think football is basketball,
bro.
They think you can stockpile on star stars. Talent, which will inevitably lead to a chip. But that's not how it works.
You can't buy it. Leonardo needs to be sacked. I will shout and shout. Leonardo is the reason he sacked Thomas Tuchel. He brought Pochettino into this situation too. He's the one that has been resigned all his contract. There are many, many things. There are many, many storms against Leonardo, which is PSG's director. I don't know why he's still there.
Yeah, but we can't spend all the time on PSG and Madrid. But big up Benzema.
Like, big up Benzema.
Best center forward in the world.
KB9, right, the great.
And then on to another great center off, Robert Lewandowski. First off, hat-trick yesterday. The touch for the first penalty was insane. Bayern just had fun yesterday. Like, to win 7-1 after drawing 1-1 the first leg, it was just like Salzburg pissed. It was 1-1.
Yeah.
Salzburg pissed them off for thinking they could make it a competition or something like that. Like, they just decided to show them, look, like, you know,
Austria and Germany kind of thing.
We're still Bayern. Gnabry had fun. Shout out Gnabry. We have unfinished business. Sané. All the attackers were just having fun on the pitch. Kimmich, Coman, Sané, Müller, Gnabry, Lewandowski. Everyone was just having fun. It wasn't much of a tie, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It wasn't much of a tie. The game was over immediately.
Like 20 minutes into the game, everything two penalties. And I was it was so confusing to me. It's like, really, we expected much better. But that
talking
was
talking about confusing, Alexis Sanchez's red card, which might have.
Oh, Liverpool Inter?
Handed the tie to Liverpool. Like, I didn't think it was a red card. I think he got the ball. And of course, there's follow through. But what can he do?
Football is becoming weak. Soccer is becoming so. I don't know why I call it soccer. Sorry, football is becoming so weak for me to watch. At some point, when I saw that tackle, I'm just like, so what do you expect him to do? Fabinho and him were running with momentum. You hardly expect the player to remove his leg, and he clearly got the ball. In no way is that even a foul.
No, it's probably a foul. I've seen fouls given for follow throughs, but I just didn't think it was a red card.
But he got the ball, like even before he got the
yeah,
ball.
Yeah, there's yeah, no way that could be a foul. I've seen fouls understand. Given for follow throughs.
But I don't even think that's even a foul. Like for me, it's like we need to actually start understanding that why is the game so weak? Why are we allowing situations like that to be a red card to decide games? And now, frankly, that ref was trash yesterday.
Yeah. But Liverpool were lucky to go through.
No, they weren't.
Well, in the first half, they created chances, but
Salah hit the bar twice.
Yeah, but in the first leg, 2-0 flattered them.
Oh, yeah, 2-0 flattered them.
2-0 flattered them in the first
Inter
leg.
Inter went 2-2, man. And I keep saying that Simone Inzaghi is doing a massive job in Inter.
And the goal from Lautaro as well.
Lautaro, I'm going to bring this thing. The chance before, look at what he did.
Yeah, but then look at what he did with the next one.
That's the thing. Like, Lautaro is one of those guys where it's like, you need to relax on him. It's like, Lautaro has gone through. He had a goal drought in the Serie A for how many games before scoring? Like, he's not that kind of striker you really want to say that, you know what, like, he really can.
He's a quality player,
but you know when your heart is sometimes good. What's that? Gattuso's thing. Sometimes good, sometimes shit. Like that is what do you call it? Lautaro. Like Lautaro is good, but he's just like that level of consistency you expect for a top striker who wants to lead a team. He doesn't have it yet.
That's fair, but on the balance of things, Luis Diaz, bro. I don't know. Maybe you need. I don't know what's wrong with your neck, bro. Like, look at the post when you're shooting. Like, stop. Like, we get it. You're South American.
I can't believe my man did a no-look pass there. No-look shot.
That's cool. Like,
I was so confused. I was just like, wait, this is happening. Like, a grown man actually went to do no-look shot while he knew.
But he's a baller, though. He's a baller. He's the signing of the January window.
He's still raw.
He's
still
impressive, and he's so fast. He's still
raw.
He goes 100 miles an hour every time. Mm-hmm. He's so quick. Like, that. What a signing for Liverpool, honestly speaking. What a signing.
Yeah.
And I have said consistently on this show that I see them winning the treble. I think the FA Cup is going to give way, but I think they're going to win Man City at the Etihad, which would inevitably lead to them winning the Premier League. And I think the FA Cup is going to have to give way because they're going to be focused on the Champions League and Premier League, which is why I don't think they'll do the quadruple. But if they do the quadruple, they'll be the greatest footballing side ever in the Premier League.
You've always had this thing for Liverpool.
Yeah, Klopp was always my favourite manager.
You've always had this affinity for Liverpool because it's like even that time when they were shouted for Van Dijk being the best centre back of all time.
No, I never said that.
But you were like, I never said that. You were always like on the, I won't say hype train, but you always.
I always liked Liverpool because I liked Klopp, and mainly when Klopp left Dortmund, like 2015, I was crying for Arsenal to sack Wenger and get Klopp. Like,
yeah.
But then Liverpool got him, and he's always been my favorite manager ever since I saw him win the Bundesliga. And it wasn't Bayern. That's when I started liking him.
Oh, that's crazy! Yeah.
Yeah. So I just like when Liverpool win because I don't have an issue with their fans. They're cool, but like I'd just rather see them win as opposed to Man U, Chelsea. Obviously Spurs, and then City win just gets boring.
It actually gets boring a bit. But I see what like Liverpool in that in the Inter game, the first leg was actually like toe-to-toe kind of thing. And I think we actually need like I encourage people to actually watch other leagues. Serie A is actually very, very interesting.
The title race is interesting.
Title race is a four-horse race. Juventus are even back in the four-horse race.
Four-horse? I don't know. I think it's between the Milan clubs.
Napoli's still there too.
No, I don't think they're going to keep up.
I still think. Well,
I think AC is eventually going to win it, but I think Inter has a game in hand on.
Yeah, AC as well too. So you can see that it's not really changed, and with Conte and Lukaku going, but Inter are actually doing a good job there. And I really, really think we need to actually give credit to Simone Inzaghi, Edin Dzeko, one of the most underrated strikers of all time. Because nobody ever talks about him. But, like, that man does numbers, every single thing, consistently. Everywhere he goes, consistently. And I think... But the thing is that, you know what? What I could see from Inter in these games is that they lacked someone up front to run behind. Because Liverpool's high line was a big problem. That it was only Perisic and Dumfries that were actually making the runs in behind. So, imagine if they had someone going behind.
Yeah.
I think that's why they changed with Alexis. But
yeah, but ultimately Liverpool went through and City spotted
smash spotting. Like literally, it's hard for me to even talk about City because City are just a well-oiled machine.
Yeah, and it's Real Madrid, City, Real Madrid, City, Liverpool, and who's the last team?
Bayern
are through to the quarterfinals. It could be a really. There's a chance City could possibly meet Liverpool in the quarterfinals. And if that's the case, and they're to meet in the FA Cup as well, we could get four.
Wait, is that the FA Cup draw?
If they, Liverpool play Huddersfield or something like that.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know about that. Yeah.
Yeah, but if they, they win Huddersfield, there's a chance we could get Liverpool City four times in a month.
Give me that action.
Four times in a month. It reminds me of the time where.
Oh, I remember that season. I think there was a season that they had that. No, it wasn't even that season.
Yeah, they had Liverpool City, but it was Champions League,
Premier League,
Champions League, and Premier League.
That's crazy.
But there was a time where we had the El Clasico, Super Four Cup, days. El Clasico, La Liga,
Copa
Champions League, and then Copa
del Rey. Wow, dominance, bro.
Yeah, but it'll be very interesting to see. But that's about it for the Champions League. Going on to the Premier League, there were a lot of big results this weekend, starting with the... I think I want to start with Aston Villa against Southampton. Prime Barclays footballer, Coutinho, back at it.
Danny Ings.
That pass from Callum Chambers for the second goal was just out of this world.
Danny Ings.
Southampton were having a pretty good season. And then, you know.
Not pretty good season, pretty good run.
Pretty good run, revival. Yeah, pretty good run. Ever since, I think they hadn't lost the game ever since Arsenal thrashed them at the Emirates 3-0. But Southampton just rolled in, put four past them and...
Aston Villa. I don't like, Ralph Hasenhüttl has done a good job. Like, they're a well-drilled side, but at times, like, those flaws in their game actually shows a lot more than people actually think.
Quality will always prevail.
Quality also prevail. But we also need to actually talk about Aston Villa a little bit because, like, Stevie G has been on a bad run. That game was their third or fourth win in, like, 10 or 11 games.
Yeah, but it's Premier League. Like, there's quality everywhere. CBG has no birthright to come into the Premier League and dominate as a manager. As good as he was as a player, he never won a Premier League trophy.
Yeah, that's fine. It's the game. It's a game. I know Aston Villa aren't going to do anything. Southampton just it's a mid-table kind of thing.
Yeah.
They'll just be in around there and. Like, eventually everything will work out for them.
Talking about bad run, Wolves have lost 3 in a row. Arsenal literally broke them, bro. We broke them.
Bruno Lage.
We broke them.
I read Bruno Lage.
I don't want to hear talk about Bruno Lage being better than Arteta, though.
Who said that?
Everyone, like, kickoff people. Rory Jennings and all these men telling me.
You really listen to man? You really listen to those kind of men?
I mean...
It's hard, bro. It's hard
but for they've lost. They've lost 3 in a row, lost 2-1 against Arsenal, lost 1-0 against West Ham, and lost 2-0 against Crystal Palace. I mean, that effectively puts them out of the top four race.
They were never there.
Effectively. They were.
They were never
they
there.
If Wolves had beat Arsenal, they would have gone ahead of us that day.
Yeah.
And they would have been 2 points behind Man United.
But they wouldn't still have stayed. There's some teams, they don't have that depth yet.
Yeah, but they're in one competition.
Yeah, they're in one competition. But, like, literally, like, I keep saying that they are wannabes. And Wolves are wannabes.
They're so resolute defensively. They have quality players Ruben Neves, Moutinho.
I love a lot of players in that team. Podence and Neto. But consistently, there's always a situation where Wolves always... The only time they did this was, like, in their first season back under Nuno. But genuinely, it's like, I still believe they're in the transition period, too. They're pretty much in the transition period.
No, I think they were, but these last few results have dumped them out.
I knew that some of these teams will actually have to fade out. Maybe they were in the race for, what do you call it, top seven, but top four? Nah.
Just still on top four race.
Who was the person? Who won them again?
Crystal Palace.
Shout out to my boys in
Patrick
South London.
Vieira. Big up Patrick Vieira, man. Big up
Michael Olise. Come home, bro. You know, someone was telling me that if City are smart, which they are, they might end up signing Michael Olise one day.
Man, Vieira needs more credit than he's getting right now. He's doing a really good job, especially having weeded out all the deadwood.
You know, they lost 10 players last season on free.
All of them were deadwood.
That's good business where they did, man.
Yep.
And they brought in better players.
Big up Vieira.
Young players, like young ballers. And I hope their Jervin and Steve Parrish and all of that can actually continue to do something like this with help. Yeah.
Yeah. Jesse March had his first game for Leeds. Leeds were better than Leicester on the day. They created more
Everyone
chances.
Is better than Leicester right now.
They created more chances, just couldn't finish. They looked more resolute defensively. But unfortunately for them, Harvey Barnes just, 1-0. That's what happens when you don't take your chances in the Premier League.
Yeah, no problem.
That's what happens when you don't take your chances in the Premier League. Like, you end up losing games. Taking chances in the Premier League, Newcastle, they're not going anywhere. This is the start of something.
Can I pause on Jesse Marsh?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, Jesse Marsh, he didn't work out in RB Leipzig. Well, he worked out in Red Bull Salzburg, basically, like, the
twin brother
and everything. But, like, I still see him as a top coach. Like, eventually, he's one of those coaches that, you know what, like, maybe the RB Leipzig job came in so much, and, like, with how they're going to play with, they actually will become a little bit more defensively resolute from what I could see from Jesse Marge. I think they play like a 4-4-2 kind of formation and all of that. They'll become a little more defensive resolute. And I see Leeds staying up like this. No point. Like, Leeds will be fine. And I would really love to see how Jesse Marge does well in the Premier League, because, like, he's a top manager. Well, one of those mid-table top managers as of now. I don't really see him being the one that, you know, like, would be like a top in a top team at this point now. But yeah, I see that would be good. I love to see the development. And shout out to Marcelo Bielsa.
Yeah, big him up for the job he's done for Leeds.
I mean, he was a rescue, like.
Yep. Chelsea won Burnley 4-0. I was so mad at that game, because in the first half, Burnley could have, they could have scored two goals. Dwight McNeil just hoofed the ball over the bar on a one on net. Weghorst had the ball cleared off the line. And I really had hope, like, ooh, like, this could be something. Chelsea could be dragging the top four race. Maurice James just did some in-out.
I'm going to open a foul here, too.
In the bottom corner.
Reece James is the best Premier League right back.
No, he's not. He's not better than Trent.
Reece James is the best Premier League right back.
He's not
that
better than Trent.
That guy is a flipping athlete and a complete
he's
player.
He's not better than Trent.
Man. He's a complete, absolute player.
Trent has 11 assists this season.
Reece James has how many goals and assists?
Yeah, he has 6 assists.
He has 6 assists and 6
Trent
goals.
Has Salah. He doesn't have to score goals.
Well, I look at Reece James and
like,
I
effectively,
just,
you're saying he's the best right back in the world.
Not really.
So
okay, let me say it this way. I like. Let me. Put
yeah,
it this
he's
way.
Not better than Trent. Trent is it's hands down the best right back in the world. Hands down. Like, I don't think it's a competition.
You don't think it's a competition? With
I don't
Reece?
Think. I don't think
They're
anybody.
Close.
I don't think
They're
anybody.
Close, man. Because defensively, Reece James, nobody. I've not seen anybody get past him too. I have not seen anybody get past him easily.
This is the same thing you're telling me about. Even though Reece James is clear of Wan-Bissaka, but this is the same thing you're telling
me
about
Wan-Bissaka.
Trent is undoubtedly the best right back in the world, and people are getting bored of him because he's been here for a while and they want to play with shiny new toys. But Reece James is not better than Trent.
I've been saying it a long time, because like, Reece James gives me absolute completeness in the way he plays, honestly. Like, and shout out to Kai Havertz too. You know, everyone was doubting him, but shout out to Kai Havertz. Like, we've been saying it even from time when Frank Lampard was here. I was just like, we should need to stop saying, like, even when we're back as communicator official of the podcast, I was saying, you know what, stop playing Kai Havertz as a winger. That guy is a false nine or a number 10. And now look at him doing numbers, being like fluid football. And again, I said it. I'm not in any Moike number 9 agenda here.
Quality prevailed for Chelsea. It was a pretty close game. One goal went in. All of a sudden, within 8 minutes, Chelsea were 3-0 up. And Pulisic.
How are Chelsea with Havertz compared to Lukaku now?
Yeah, they look way better. They look way better.
And I don't like to say I said it, but like, literally, it's been a situation where I know that. I think Lukaku will eventually be successful here, but not up to the level that we expect him. He was meant to be the final piece, but Chelsea looks sweeter. Even when he was injured, Chelsea still looked better with Kai Havertz. And I'm not the person that I can say I watch games, but Kai Havertz structurally helps Chelsea to be more fluid, where they can have overloads on the sides, where they can play in the center, where there's absolute control.
Still remaining blue. Let's talk about Fat Frank. That's what football Twitter calls him.
No, I know. I just
Frank Lampard is just he's not a good manager, man. Like,
no, I don't think he's not a bad. I don't think he's a bad manager.
No,
I just think
No.
I just think that he's not ready.
Everton might get it. That is just insane to see.
I'm gonna give you their five remaining PL fixtures. Guess what?
I know they have Arsenal in the last game of the season.
Well, so Wolves next game. Newcastle, West Ham, Liverpool, Chelsea, Leicester, Brentford.
They've played more games than Burnley, Watford.
They're 17 place, 22 points.
Yeah, but they're just a point ahead of Burnley.
The only possible win is
I don't think they'll go down. I don't think they'll beat Newcastle as well.
Do you see this? Wolves. So Newcastle, West Ham, Man United, okay. Liverpool away. Chelsea home. Leicester City, okay. Oh, Brentford, Arsenal. That's tricky. That's not normal. That's not normal.
They could possibly be.
And you know the thing, I kept saying that. What made Franco there? That's my question. You could see the issues that are happening here. They could see the issues that these guys have not recruited. When I look at how many things they did, I remember they bought Sandro, Alex Iwobi for 40 million, Cheick Tosun. No, Richarlison is a good signing. Gylfi Sigurdsson for 40 million.
He's in prison.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we're not meant to speak on about him. All of these players,
yeah,
like it's just like a lot of things don't make sense. It's like you knew all these things and you still went there. And the man went to sign Dundee van de Beek and Dele Alli.
For me to get opened like a pack of Oreos against Tottenham, it's just disgusting. Like, it's unbelievable. Spurs put five past you. Watching that game, my one takeaway is Harry Kane is the perfect striker for Arsenal, man. Oh my god, like.
This Harry Kane to Arsenal thing is, I don't know what part of the world you're living in. In a
perfect world, Harry Kane will end up at Arsenal. But unfortunately, this world is far from perfect. So it's not going to happen. But big performance from Spurs ups their goal difference as well in the race for the top four. Effectively, they're back in the race, 3 points behind fourth place Arsenal.
But it's Everton. Yeah. I think we need to speak a lot more about Everton. Like, what is going on in that club? Anyways, you know what? This has been coming for a while, and especially with the Russian sanctions that have taken Usmanov.
No, that's what they
Usmanov. You know, it was an Arsenal before too.
Yeah,
Usmanov now.
Yeah, I wanted him to buy Arsenal.
Be careful what you wish for, because now that would have been another thing altogether.
But the thing with Everton is they've recruited as poorly as a team could possibly recruit, especially with the funds they've been given. Yeah, Richarlison is a hit, but we need to wake up and smell the coffee. Dominic Calvert-Lewin is an average Premier League striker, and he's not going to be more than average. Everton is his level, right? So he's not that world beater people claim to think. I wouldn't take him at Arsenal. I'd keep him as far away from the Emirates as I possibly could. Andros Townsend, I said it on this show. I said it consistently. Everton are rifled with championship level players. And everybody was telling me I'm being too harsh on them. It's facts. Half of their players don't deserve to be in the Premier League. Jonjo Kenny, Mason Holgate, Michael Keane.
No, Jonjo those are young players.
Mason Holgate has been young for 5 years now.
No, this Jason Kenny.
Jonjo Kenny.
Jonjo Kenny just came up like last year.
I watched Jonjo Kenny in 2018.
But he was just...
He's 24.
Okay. Oh, is that Anthony Gordon that I'm talking about?
Mason Holgate is already 25 years old. Michael Keane, trash. Seamus Coleman, washed. Alan, decent. Richarlison, decent. Man like Stormzy, decent.
Who the hell is man like Stormzy?
Abdoulaye Doucouré.
Come on, man. This is why racist people do this, man.
Anthony Gordon is good. Van de Beek, like Townsend, El Ghazi, Begovic, Iwobi, Rondon. Like, these are all championship level players. You can't go far in the Premier League with a squad like this. I said immediately they signed El Ghazi. I'm like, what
it's
are you
bad
doing?
Bad recruitment that cost them this. Like, literally, it's years in the making where you say that, you know what, this was going to happen.
Exactly.
Eventually.
Exactly.
This is going
to
happen.
To spend 40 million on Iwobi is just ridiculous.
Nah, what you need to go and look at this. Then Philip Bamin that has been injured for time. Fabian Delph. All of these things. It's just like, this is why I keep saying that you can sign as many good players. I've always bought into that.
They had Sidibe as well.
On loan though. But like, these are things that, you know what, like, this is why I keep saying that you can see a team's success in... if you project it. I used to buy into that Everton hype when I didn't understand how football profiles work. But every single time now, it's just like, these guys keep deceiving us. Even the fact that they hired Rafa Benitez when you knew. You know, it was a doomed marriage before it even started.
I still can't believe we lost to them, though. Like,
it's a doomed marriage before it even started. So, like, you can actually just be crazy. You look like, you're like, what the hell is this? Like... We know this is going to happen, but we just keep laughing. We just keep watching them, and it's irritating to see them. And the fact that Mr. Frank Lampard still went, I know you're an athlete, I know you bet on yourself, but I've been shouting for time that you should go down.
Yeah, but we can't, you know, spend all the time on Everton.
Go down. Go and learn from the distance. Go and do like Stevie G. Yeah. Let's go. Sorry.
Still staying in Merseyside. Liverpool with a big 1-0 win against West Ham.
Mo Salah disaster class.
Unfair. Yeah. Salah didn't bowl. Luis Diaz bowled. Trent.
Who scored for him again?
Sadio Mane. Trent. It's almost like
King of Africa.
It's almost like Trent just said, therefore, from here on now, my hair grew out. I care nothing about opinions. And it's just,
everyone needs to take a book out of that, honestly.
It's just ball. Like, ever since he let his hair grow out, like, he took a page out of Cole's book, and he's just been on a different level ever since. I don't think I've ever seen a right back create the amount of chances he does. He's so critical to the way Liverpool play. At the end of your, and to think about the fact that I don't think he's up to 24 yet.
Daniel Alves is screaming.
I don't think he's up. Trent is just 23.
Daniel Alves is screaming, man. All those years of dominance, all nobody talks about anymore.
No. Daniel Alves played with Iniesta, Xavi, all these players, Sergio Busquets, Lionel Messi. What are we saying?
Are we saying that
Trent is the main creative option on Liverpool, and he's doing it every week? A defender has 11 assists in the Premier League just halfway through the season,
and he does this consistently. I see that. I see what you're saying. I see the idea. But Liverpool scare me. You know, we're all talking about Liverpool and how they had a bad season. And I remember listening to Stadio. It's a podcast, like Stadio podcast. I remember when Musa and Ryan, shout out to Stadio. You guys should listen to them. They're very good. They're talking about everyone will come back and apologize to Liverpool for what they said last season.
I always knew. I cannot lose Virgil van Dijk and think everything is going to be all rosy. And it's not just Van Dijk they lost. Liverpool's system had to be altered because Fabinho was playing at CB for a majority of the season.
Henderson.
Part of their game, Fabinho and Henderson was a legit CB pairing for Liverpool at some point in time.
It's crazy how one season everything
They signed Ozan Kabak, who is not even doing anything at Norwich right now. And they still managed to finish third and beat Man United at Old Trafford.
It's just weird to see. You didn't have to mention that, but no problem. It's just like, I look at Liverpool and I'm just like, this is a well-oiled machine from top to bottom, where they know what they're doing. And even signing Luis Diaz. When I saw that sign, when they're like, they're signing Luis Diaz, and I saw the kind of player profile he has, I'm just like, you lot know what you're doing.
Yota, same thing with Yota.
Same thing that happened.
It's almost like everybody can see these players.
Liverpool players.
Everybody could see Mane, but Liverpool got him. Everybody could see Salah, but Liverpool got him. Everybody could see Yota, but Liverpool got him. And big up Klopp, because he's the one who knows how to get the best out of every single one of these players. Literally, these players are having career years under Jurgen Klopp.
Like, career, it's weird. It's crazy to see Liverpool continuously do the same thing over and over again. The same system, the same thing, and no one can stop them. Like, you know the kind of profile they're going to sign, and everybody's going to sign them. Like, look at Luis Diaz. Like, I keep saying that, look at Luis Diaz, and I'm just marveled at history of the Tottenham, they messed up as usual, but, like, literally,
yeah, there was nobody.
There was nobody him. That, nobody. And he's like, it's like, you know when you wear a shoe and it's a perfect fit. That is how Liverpool signed, and I love it.
Yep. On West Ham side of things, they're not necessarily out of the top four race, but it's a mountains hill for them to catch up right now. They lost
to
Liverpool.
Sorry. I thought I missed that. It's last week that day.
Antonio, they had a lot of chances, you know. They should have walked away with their points. Antonio
is having a bad second half of the season.
Yep, they should have walked away with their points, but like I always say, quality would prevail at the end of the day.
And West Ham missed out on not signing the striker in December, January.
Yep, and not necessarily out of the top four race, but definitely the least favorites out of the teams left in the top four race.
Man United exist.
And still on the top four race.
Arsenal?
North London. Like, I don't, this Arsenal team is real. Like, put every single thought you've had about Arsenal of recent aside. This Arsenal team is for real. We weren't impressive on Sunday against Watford. Mm-hmm. We weren't. We didn't play the best. Arteta was visibly mad on the sideline. Like, especially for the second goal, I'm thinking to myself, Xhaka, why are you playing that ball across the field? Just keep it. Shuffle it between yourselves. Arteta was like, let them come on to us. All of a sudden, we lose the ball in critical areas and it's transition game. We could have lost, you know, a vital 2 points for that. But thankfully, we hung on. Defensively, we weren't that good on the day. But we still win games because there's proper quality in this Arsenal side. Thomas Partey came out with an interview in December and said he's been a 4 out of 10 since he signed for Arsenal. Now, constant 8 out of 10. Dominates the midfield on his own. Martin Odegaard, there is no creative midfielder in the Premier League right now that's better than Odegaard. There's nobody that pulls the strings in the final third better than Martin Odegaard right now. No creative midfielder in the Premier League. I'll say it with my chest. No creative midfielder in the Premier League pulls the strings in the final third like Odegaard right now.
KDB.
We're talking about KDB hasn't been as amazing as he normally would be. We're talking about
no Bernardo Silva.
Not Bernardo Silva. He's fallen off second half of the season.
No, he hasn't.
He hasn't been as good.
No, he hasn't.
No, yes, of course he hasn't been as good. No. First half of the season, he was on fire.
Bernardo has still been consistently good. He's just one of those players you don't hear about.
He hasn't been as good as he was. I didn't say he's been poor. He just hasn't been at the same level he was.
We're talking about a drop level of just 1 point. Is that what you're saying?
Odegaard has been the best creative mid. Do you watch Arsenal games?
Hardly, because
Exactly.
But I actually watch like a few of the clips and watch.
Look at the touch he had for Martinelli's goal.
That goal, not even Martinelli's goal. I'm talking about his goal.
And then I saw they were debating on Sky whether he meant it. Bro, if you watch Arsenal, Odegaard does that thing. Odegaard dummies at least three times a game. At least three times a game.
Okay.
The pass with Saka, the movement with Saka, their connection ever since the turn of the year has just been different.
You know what? This is coming from me and it's hard to say. But Arsenal look like a machine that is being oiled well every single week. And it's hard to say this, but genuinely, I see them as the one to go top four because they look like a well-oiled machine and they actually they know what they are playing. Like, I look at that Odegaard's goal, that's all I have in my image of my head. I could see the overload on the right-hand side.
Yep. Cedric Saka,
which is the normal overload in positional play. Where you have your number 10 coming to create an overload with the right winger and the right back, they play out that way.
And we're trying to do that on the left hand side with Martinelli, Xhaka, but the reason is stagnant is majorly because Xhaka doesn't have the source like Odegaard, which is why we're probably going to try get another
like a quick pass like that.
Yeah,
because that quick pass was very very good. Like let me not lie to you, even me, I love Martin Odegaard. I love Saka. Those are footballers. I love. You know, there's something I call football tingles, like spider tingles. Bukayo Saka gives me football tingles. And this is coming from me. He gives me football tingles.
He gives me
a lot of football tingles when I watch him. And I'm just like, you know what? Young player of the year. It's a good shout for it.
He is young. I'm not hearing this thing about Declan Rice. I'm not hearing this
The only person
that I think comes close is Reece James. Obviously, if Trent is still in the race, yeah. Trent should win Young Player of the Year, but I think he's above it.
I think
he's above Young Player of the Year. I think Reece James would not win it just because. No, but young, I'm saying like he's for his level of prestige.
Player of the Year. You know, it was Young Player of the Year last year.
Foden.
No, there was a year that they gave Sterling. Yeah. You give an old proper old head, yeah, or head
yeah,
like
yeah,
this thing.
Yeah, but like you know.
But like we've seen, Bukayo Saka is 20.
Here's the thing about Saka.
Tell everybody. I don't have shame and I don't care. But Bukayo, I literally stand Saka when I watch. Like literally every time I watch, I'm just like. He's one of those players that give you pure joy when you watch him, and he's not just structured. There's vibes.
His importance to this Arsenal team, I wouldn't say he's unrivaled, but he's up there. Like,
I think he's unrivaled.
Partey
is the one that
cannot play the way we play without Partey being part.
I think Sambi Lokonga. I've seen it and I've watched Sambi Lokonga and I've seen the attributes in that guy.
He's not ready.
I think that's the truth. He's like Sambi Lokonga will come in.
But as for Saka, it's like double teamed. alone every week, no overlap.
And you know what's so beautiful?
And he's doing this every
week.
You
know what's so beautiful? That doubling on him, that's where Odegaard thrives.
He's so strong with it. Like, you cannot get the ball off him.
That's where Odegaard thrives.
Like, and then Martinelli wasn't having the best game, but that finish from Martinelli. Listen, Alex Lacazette can make it as a small ball five in the NBA. There's no Premier
League.
Started
again.
There's no player in the Premier League that's better at setting screens than Lacazette. No joke. Like, you look at the goal against Man City. When KT is coming, upfield with the ball, Saka runs across. Laka sets a backdoor pick on Laporte.
What the hell is this basketball thing? What are you saying?
He sets a backdoor pick on Laporte, which opens up space for Saka. And when KT cuts back, Saka is in the space, he's in like a million acres of space, and he slots it into the bottom corner. Like, he does that so well. My only problem is we need goals from him. We need goals from Saka, but from Laka. But, you know, wasn't the best performance from Arsenal. 3 points, three solid goals. Big up Kucha Hernandez as well. You know, the bicycle kick was amazing.
Top four is yours. I have nothing.
I don't want to comment about it. We just have to go every week, game by game.
You started with this manager nonsense that they're doing.
I feel like we.
Please, it's yours.
There's news out today that Vardy is not going to play against Arsenal on Sunday.
You're scared of Leicester?
Yeah.
Leicester is horrible.
Vardy hates Arsenal.
But thank God, no matter what,
Vardy hates
Leicester,
Arsenal.
Leicester aren't those guys.
Yeah, but like, we have a critical week coming up.
I've dropped my guys. This is a critical week in
Arsenal's season, because we have Leicester, then we have Liverpool midweek, and then we have Villa at the weekend.
You're still going to survive.
I feel like we'll win Liverpool. Sorry, Leicester and
the people
Villa.
You're fighting against are Spurs and United.
Yeah, we'll win Leicester and Villa, but anything we pick up against Liverpool is a plus.
Spurs and United, you're scared of, you think of those guys?
Yeah, no, but United are still, they're just a point behind us. We sit in fourth, but not comfortably, even though we've got three.
United are just a point behind you.
Yeah.
Still not, okay, you know what? Wrapping up on Arsenal, I'm going to give my flowers to Arteta, because that's a coach. Like, the fundamentals of his games are literally seen. I still think that in that time that he was having a bad run, any other club would have sacked him.
Yeah.
But credit to Arsenal for doing what he needed to do. Arteta is a top... I'm not giving his top coach yet, but he's a decent coach.
He's a pretty good prospect
that, you know what, like... I still think that, you know what, I want to see how long this success can last. But what I see from Arsenal is a long-term view.
No, I'm not done.
So for me, it's like, I look at the long-term view, and I'm like, especially with this transfer window, what they've done is amazing and smart. You look at how they've recruited, where it's a long-term view of, you know, the right profiles you play. Like, signing Ramsdale, like, that is scouting. That is what PSG...
That is a manager that knows what he wants.
And exactly, that's what PSG and... that team in Manchester should know what to do.
Sorry to cut you short, but I saw this tweet the other day. It was someone like, in an alternate world, Arsenal sign Onana, Conte is still fighting with the board for not giving him these players. We signed Maddison and he's not performing well. And it just shows, like, the one thing I can't question about Arteta for now is his talent ID. He's only missed on Willian.
Yeah, like, I still think, like, he knows the right profile of players. Mm-hmm. He knows, like, let's make it clear. For them to come out and say,
we wanted Vlahovic, but, you know, he went to Juve and we assessed the other striking options.
Who came out?
It was an Athletic journal.
Oh, the Athletic, yeah.
They assessed the other striking options and they felt like they would be putting in too much money for someone who wasn't going to perform at the highest level for them, which is why they didn't buy, you know, an Isaac or something. I was like, you know what? Fair enough. That's fair enough.
That's smart.
That's fair enough.
That's smart. Like, that is, you crunch your numbers against this thing. I keep saying that everyone should go and watch Moneyball, to shoot Moneyball. Moneyball will help you understand how scouting can be so good, how analytics and all of these things can actually be. Let me tell you, that is why Liverpool are successful today.
Mm-hmm.
FSG, Fenway Sports, how they were able to be the best, because they are in charge of the Boston Red Sox, right? Sorry, is it Boston Red Sox?
Yes, Boston.
Boston Red Sox. They're literally the ones doing the same thing in Liverpool by doing the analytics. That's why they can be able to crunch numbers. They're able to do the analytics to be able to still sign players like Diaz and all of that. And mm-hmm. I believe Arsenal are going, like, some, like, I, again, going back to Stadio, when I listen to this, someone in Arsenal knows what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
They know what they're doing. And it is, it's crazy to see, but
I think the scary thing about Arsenal is, like, they're going to get better.
Yeah, they are.
They're the youngest team in the Premier League. Ramsey was 23. Tierney is 24.
Saka 20.
White is 22. Gabriel is 23. Tomiyasu just turned 23. Saka Partey 20. Obviously is the older one. Odegaard is 22. Saka is 20.
Needs to sign a new contract.
Smith, he will sign a new contract. He's just focused on top worries. Fabrizio came out and said it.
Okay, that's fine. It's still pretty impressive to see Arsenal do this.
Lastly on Arsenal, look at me. Serge Gnabry, you have unfinished business at the Emirates, bro. Serge Gnabry, you have unfinished business at the Emirates. We need you down that left-hand side with KT. Come to the Emirates and finish the business, bro. I'm not talking about Lukaku's form of unfinished business. He has one more year left on his contract and he hasn't signed a new contract.
And he's going. Anybody that's Bayern has not signed up to this at this point now, he's going. He's 27, right?
26.
That's still
Gnabry. Like, we need you, bro. We need you. There's the rumors have started coming now. Apparently, 63 million. Arsenal make champ for Gnabry.
What kind of nonsense is that? That's horrible business.
What do you mean?
63 million for somebody last year on his contract.
Yeah, but that's fine. I'm okay with it.
63 million.
I'm okay with it. I'm totally fine with it.
That's my United behavior.
Would you rather risk him signing a new contract?
Huh?
I would pay 60 million for Serge Gnabry. Gnabry is a game changer for Arsenal.
When I think Bayern got this guy for 40 million.
See, Gnabry and a striker, let's say an Osimhen or a Lautaro, probably take our expectations.
This is to my guy, Big B. Osimhen is the truth. I keep telling you.
Our expectations from edge of top four to confirm top four, like top three, top four. I wouldn't say title race right now.
Because Osimhen is going to cost you money.
Yeah.
It's going to cost you upwards of 80 million. In the perfect
world, we spent 200 million on Harry Kane and Gnabry. but obviously, it's not happening.
Big up Arsenal. This
window coming up is very important for us. But as you can tell, I'm happy. After the first three games of the season, I didn't imagine myself being here 26 games into the season. I'm extremely happy. But the face beside me isn't. You know why? He supports Man United. So the floor is yours.
How many minutes do we have left? I think we have like 10. First of all, I'm gonna tell people I don't watch Man United games anymore. I just read the stats, read on what I can see and all of that. So you can understand that it's tough times. It's really, really much tough times to say, especially this Man City game. First of all, we're going to say that Man City are a world of machine. They were going to win no matter what. So, like, let's first of all take it out. But I think for me, it just showed us the gap between what a coach team and what another coach team.
It didn't show. It further highlighted.
Whatever the English is.
It just showed you how... It just further showcased the distance between both teams.
Yeah, and the recruitment. So, here's the thing. Everyone is screaming and shouting for, like, okay, this is the issue with Man United. No, the rot has been there for years. These are just symptoms that we keep talking about every day and night. And it's just tiring to talk about. We keep saying it like a better... Man United have spent money... It's not money that is the problem. You don't buy success. You don't buy success by buying players like that. You buy the right profiles of players. And that is the problem with Man United. The rot has been there from time when you're signing. You know what? Let me start before. I prepared a speech for this because it's been long and my mind has been brewing. But for so long, we have to say that Man United aren't a top team right now. And it's okay.
Shout out Culture Clubs.
It's okay. Shout out Culture Camps because he speaks the truth and nothing but the truth. Like, he knows what he's saying and he's like, yes, we are not a top team. And me, I've reached that point of acceptance that, you know what, this team is not top and that's okay. But it's high time we come to a realization that it's not, like, no manager comes in and solves problems like this unless first of all, Sir Alex goes home. Salex can come in and have no say. That is the first step. Unless these guys, unless we actually have an eye and say that, you know, it's time to create a sustainable model. So, for this past few games, I've been seeing what it is. I watched a few games. Ralf Rangnick has done much better. No one can tell me that this is not better than Ole's time. It's just that the goals are not coming. Like, all these things we're talking about, like, oh, we're not winning and everything. I keep telling people that you need to start using, like, little, not stats, but what do you call this thing? Yes, statistics. Like, XG, to see the quality of chances you're making. Man United have created 16, quality, like, should have had 16 goals in their last 5 games or 6 games before the Man City tie. But because, bad finishing. So, the only thing that a coach can do is put players in the position to score goals. Yes, at the same time, they will concede goals. Because let me tell you, as a coach, you have to learn that you put things in place. For 45 minutes, it will work. Because remember, these guys are just learning something new. It's like habits. Your habits change over time. Like, you can start with a habit of like let's say, fasting for a few hours, like intermittent fasting. But some days you fall short. It's the same thing with football tactics. You start strong. Then you realize, then you revert to your normal state. You don't change a 3-year or even more than 5-year on coach team who has been relying on individual brilliance. That's why the likes of Rashford are suffering right now. That's why the likes of Bruno, although I'm going to speak a little about Bruno, but that's why these players are a bit burnt out or tired. To be honest, I feel like it's a case of burnout because for years they have been used like soap. Rashford has been used like a soap for so long. This man played with a back injury for years. My man has 260 Premier League performance appearances at the age of 23-24. When he was carrying the team on his back and literally breaking his back. My man carried a broken back and an ankle injury for so long because of Ole. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has a lot to pay for. He has a lot of things to pay for in this team. His recruitment was bad. You don't.
It's not him, though.
Huh?
It's not him.
What do you mean it's not him?
It's the board.
But they gave him money.
Yeah, but Ole wasn't the one picking out all these players.
Okay, fine. The rot. But Ole, still in his way, has a lot of.
The rot starts from the top, and it started with Ed Woodward.
Okay.
And I don't know who the new man is. I don't know if he's a director of football or something. But the man who replaced Ed Woodward.
Richard Arnold,
right? Gary Neville tweeted yesterday about the game on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, oh, yesterday's game felt like the RIP to the old Manchester United. It is the dawn of a new era with Richard Arnold at the office, and Man United are going to get a new manager come summer. There's talks about them being involved with Ten Hag.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Arnold.
Stay away from Pochettino, please. That's the first. If Man United go down that path of Pochettino, that's when you know that they are still on serious.
Richard Arnold and Ed Woodward are best friends.
Okay.
They went to university together. Richard Arnold has been at Manchester United for 9 years.
You've read the article.
What is the dawn of the new era that's happening?
It's not dawn of the new era. So this is my own opinion. I've also read.
Richard Arnold came out last year when I think United had just won AC Milan and said he couldn't be more proud of Ole with the transcendent success that he had. Transcendent, 15 points behind Man City in a title race in a season where everybody was dealing with injuries.
Anyways, no matter what the CEO, like, I'm okay with Richard Arnold. I haven't seen enough of him to see the rot. But Richard Arnold has also said he doesn't want to be involved in football decisions. Because he has little idea. It's okay for you to have a CEO that will run the football and will run the business, but have people around him. The person I am more respecting and hopeful for is John Murtough. John Murtough has, if we go and read on John Murtough has been involved in football for most of his life. He was the same person that brought in Ralf Rangnick. He knew he went to go and scout on the Red Bull model to see what things are doing there. So that's the only hopeful thing that I can say that, you know what, there's something that could happen. But the only thing is that the stupid emotions of the past are going to rob United. First of all, I'll say it and I'll say it in my chest. I said it that signing Cristiano Ronaldo would not change anything.
Ronaldo didn't play on Sunday.
I don't care about Sunday.
He didn't play on Sunday.
I don't care about Sunday. This is long term. I don't care. Sunday was a foregone game.
Already. Everyone talks. You always talk about Ronaldo. Man, you shouldn't have signed Ronaldo. And man, you are probably better off without Ronaldo. Sunday was your chance to show, okay, Ronaldo has been holding us back. Let me show you what I can do without Ronaldo. Against the best,
most coached team.
Yeah, but like you had a chance to show what you could do without Ronaldo. Bruv,
no matter what happened, that foregone game. These are points. These are just points. Signing Ronaldo was not the right decision. Because in that time, we should have signed a DM. We've been crying out for a midfielder for years. It's like everyone in the world knows that the problem is Fred and McTominay. Scott McTominay. I keep saying it, and I don't like to insult players, but I keep saying it that you're not as good for this level. It is genuinely the truth that you might not be good for this level, and that's okay.
Problem with Man United is
but the problem is that he's from Manchester. He's what do you call it? He shows passion and desire.
A lot
but
of
my
players
man,
are good at talking, but not good at
playing. Not good at this thing. Not good at playing. I know I'm not that great, but I know that I can use my brain to do a lot of things. But Scott McTominay is literally poor. Look at the fourth goal. Look at the fourth goal. I saw the analysis of it. Like, look at his touch. Look at his first touch. Look at all these things. It's like we are Man United are a bunch of low IQ players who are very sports brats.
For me, it's the first three goals that stand out. The first goal.
No, the first goal was the third goal.
The first goal was terrible.
Third goal was Maris.
No. The third goal. United are zonal marking when there's nobody in the box for City.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody decides to track the run of Mahrez on the box, on the edge of the box, sorry. Like, why are you zonal marking when there's nobody in the box?
So, man marking would have worked better. Is that what you're saying?
Yes! You can't zonal mark when there's nobody in the box.
That happened. That.
And for the second goal, for Harry Maguire to dummy the ball
in his own box.
First of all, the touch from Phil Foden was exquisite to take it past Lindelof. And great save from De Gea. But for Maguire to then dummy the ball and...
You see, all of these things...
In his own box. £80 million, the most expensive defender in world football.
These are the things that are costing Man United. Don't spend... A proper run club will not spend £80 million on Harry Maguire.
It's safe to say that in the 144-year history of Man United, he's the worst captain they've ever had.
I think that's fair to say. And I'm sorry to say, like, I tried to give Maguire the benefit of the doubt because, like, I see some things that may help us. I see some things that may not help us. But genuinely speaking, he's too error-prone and he's 29.
29.
You're 29 and you're going into the, like, you defenders can last long, but I don't know how you can last long with a little bit of your low IQ. Bruno Fernandes, like, I keep saying it that Bruno Fernandes plays like a player that has not been trained. That has not been trained or tamed for his life.
Only chaos
because
suited him.
Only chaos, exactly. Only chaos suited a lot of these players. Because eventually their quality will stand out. I keep using the basketball analogy. I saw it one day. Someone said, if a player is having 1 out of 10 shots and he scores maybe the winning buzzer, is that a good game to
them?
A buzzer beater.
It's decent.
It's decent, but he has shot 1 out of 10. That 1 out of 10
depends
was
on who the player is. Like, well, if you consistently shoot,
consistently,
1 out of 10,
exactly, yeah. 1 out of 10, and it's just maybe you get the winning assist or he does one little thing at the end. Use that basketball analogy and understand that this is the same thing, Bruno Fernandes.
Because he's not going to get it every game.
Every time, only a good performer doesn't try to do this every single time. He's not try and error. Football is not like that. You need to put yourself. Like, there are many, many times where I see Bruno make decisions that kids of 15 years, 16 years are the ones that are making it. So why that's my problem with United is like bunch of low IQ players, bunch of like bad recruitment. And I say it and I say it again. The best season for United this year, best thing that will happen to them is if they finish 8th. Not 5th, not 6th, not 7th, not even 4th. Let everybody fall apart. Let Mr. Number 7 go. Let everybody go. If anybody wants to go this time, even Pogba too, I love him too much. But if he wants to go, let everybody go. Let everybody understand that this is the time.
About Rashford considering
his that
future.
Is his own business. Why? I understand Rashford to an extent, but at the same time, his performances have shown it. My man ran into, against Atletico, my man ran into 5 people because he was trying to dribble. All of these situations are what are causing United the issue because we're trying to bet with this thing. You shouldn't sign Ronaldo because and Ronaldo is not really a striker. Like, you shouldn't... I keep saying that there's no need to. But yes, you sign Ronaldo today and tomorrow. I understand. Everybody tries and does it. Even if he went to Man City, I still don't think... The point is that if Ronaldo wants to stay, he has to come to a point that, you know what, I have to be a one game per player, one week per player.
It's Cavani. Cavani is an evil person.
That one. I don't know what I should say. Is on money. I don't know the word. I don't know the word to say that one is doing here right now. That one is just here to do what they call it. Go global. He's literally here to do global and just be checking out plays and going to what they call it, games. No respect.
At some point, I was like, is Man United still paying Cavani's wages?
Like, he's literally doing the same thing every single time. This is the problem. Man United need to come eighth. Everybody needs to, like, without everybody.
Yeah.
That's my hope that Ragnick.
And the loss of number 11 has affected them deeply.
Number 11, it has affected us, but we don't speak about him. He needs to be in jail for what he's done.
Yep.
Like, literally, yep. Like, it's done. Like, you've ruined your career and you've literally set up bad. But the mm-hmm. problem is that Man United need to now. I hope Ragnick is allowed a lot of work because this consultancy thing is really consultancy.
That's what I've been saying.
It's literally consultancy.
He doesn't have a defined role.
He doesn't have a defined role, but I hope that him being in this squad will help him know that, you know what, these players are not good enough.
Half Man United's players are. Just on the game itself, here's the thing with Wan-Bissaka.
It's like the recruitment. You spend 150 million on one. I know what they said. They had 804 right backs on the list, and you said Wan-Bissaka is the 45 million one.
Here's the thing with Wan-Bissaka.
There were many other right backs there. You had Maguire. I keep talking about Maguire a lot. 80 million. You could have signed Ruben Dias at that same time for around 50 million. This is the poor recruitment we're talking about. You're buying the wrong profile of mm-hmm. players. You mm-hmm. knew that this player does not fit you. You want to play fast attacking football, but you bought Wan-Bissaka.
Just think, Wan-Bissaka. 1v1 defending ability, there's no right back in the world that's close to him. No right back. No full back is as good as defending Wan-Bissaka in a 1v1 situation. Mm-hmm. But that's where he ends in terms of defensively for Wan-Bissaka. 1v1. His all-round defensive play is poor. His awareness of the line, his every, like, the first time I noticed cracks in Wan-Bissaka's game, I'll never forget, January 1st, 2020, Arsenal played Man United. Mm-hmm. We exploited that right-hand side, our left-hand side, so much because we created an overload on the left-hand side with Kolasinac, Aubameyang, and Wan-Bissaka could not deal with it. That's exactly what City did on Sunday. Instead of making Sterling go 1v1 against Wan-Bissaka, they created an overload with Grealish and Cancelo.
Ball secure players, bro.
And they couldn't do anything. He couldn't do anything about it. He could not.
It's like from Wan-Bissaka. It's like the whole system is rot and it needs to be broken down. A lot of people need to be let go.
I told you this when we come back from Edmonton. United need a little rebuild. They need a right back. They need a left back because ever since Luke Shaw stopped eating apple crumble and custard creams, he's not been playing well. They need a DM. They need two midfielders with or without Pogba leaving. With Pogba leaving, they probably need three midfielders. They need a striker.
And they need a right winger.
Depending on how Rashford is playing, they need a winger.
It's not a little rebuild. And a keeper.
And then they need
a keeper.
Here's the thing about De Gea, right? He reminds me so much of Leno. So much of Leno. Because every single time I hear my United fans saying, yeah, De Gea did this, but he's the only reason we didn't lose 7-0. Bro, that is exactly what happened with Leno.
For me, the whole system is rot, and I've given up on the season. You know when, in America and Disney, everybody just gives up and tank the season and start playing for draft. That's literally my mind. And I believe everyone should go on it and say, Man United, tank the season. Let's do it, please. Let's restart. Let everybody know their level. Mm.
Yeah, because finishing fourth will give you a false sense of security.
And finishing fifth and sixth is a waste of time, to be honest to me. Because Thursday night football will be another thing to waste our time on.
I don't know, but Thursday night football is mentally draining.
I don't want to be watching Thursday, Sunday anymore. I've done that for 2 years. It stresses me out. I'm in church on Sunday. And I don't like to watch football on Thursday. Anyways, let's end. I'm tired. I'll probably take another 20 minutes to tell you people about, like, Bruno and Ragnick is doing what. I'm just tired. I'm just, like, for me, I'm mentally drained and I don't think it's best for me. I think I needed to unload today and I'm not speaking about United for the rest of the season. The season is done for me. If they make top four, I'm just, like, let everything dead.
United might still make top
four. They are not. And if they even go find Champions League, nobody should tell me anything because none of that is happening.
I think they're going to win Champions League.
They are not. Don't piss me off.
I think they'd win Atletico, but
they're not going. I don't even think they're beating Atletico.
No, they'd win Atletico. Simeone is a, like Jachi said, he's a war criminal and he has to pay for his crimes against football. Honestly speaking, because for Diego Simeone to come out and say McTominay is one of the best midfielders in the world just shows how evil he is. He's here to ruin the good game.
Everyone still rates McTominay. You rate McTominay? I have watched midfielders in my life. I watched Paul Scholes. I've watched Fabregas. I've watched Cazola. I've watched.
I love this anti-hype.
I've watched Mikel Obi. And you're mentioning McTominay. Please, let's end this thing. I'm tired. I'm going, please.
Okay. So, there you have it. We've come to the end of another episode of the Highline Podcast. Thank you for coming on the show again, Funtong.
Thank you. As usual,
I've been your voice of reason. Make sure to check us out on all podcast streaming platforms. Give us a follow on Instagram. Give us a follow on Twitter. Tell a friend to 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 listen to the Highline Podcast. We'll see you in the next episode. Thank you and have a lovely day.
Bye-bye.